This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Mashallah, mashallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him, we seek his assistance and we seek his guidance and we seek praises and blessings upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome everyone, our young learners hub, to our second episode of our Dhul Hijjah edition. And from myself and Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija, I say to you all, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah, mashallah. I had a really wonderful time with you all yesterday, and I did tell you all that we missed you all a lot, and alhamdulillah, being with you all yesterday made us really, really happy and really, really pleased. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to accept our learning, and to make us people who put our knowledge into practice. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to gather us in many, many more Young Learners Hub sessions in the future. Ameen. Inshallah, ameen. All right, so as usual, we have some shout-outs, some names that we would like to extend a special welcome to. Some people that we would like to extend a special welcome to, mashallah, they joined us yesterday. Don't forget to let me know where you're joining in from right now. But in terms of yesterday, some of the names that we have Khadija from Germany. Welcome, Khadija. And Aslam, Adam, and Nawal, and Inaya from Bradford in the UK, somewhere north in the UK. We have Hamdi, who's 11 years old, Iyad, who's 7, and Taib, who's 4 years old, from Sri Lanka. We have Ayman, who's 10 years old, from Jordan. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We have Rahma, who's 8, Haya, who's 7, and Razina, who's 4, from the United Arab Emirates. We also have Khadija Muhammad from Muscat. We have Maliha from Qatar. We have Salahuddin Imran from Khabar in Saudi Arabia. I wonder how the weather is there, Salahuddin. Is it very humid? Is it very hot? Is it okay? Let us know. Also, we have Abdullah, who's 7, Asia, who's 6, and Muhammad from guess where? Somewhere in Europe. Germany, Ahsanti Abdullah, good guess. Welcome Abdullah and Asia and Muhammad from Germany. We also have Khadija, Hanan and Abdurrahman all the way from India. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We welcome you all and we welcome everyone who is listing their attendance today and the countries that they are attending from. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. I can see your names popping up and your countries popping up, and inshallah I will go through them, and tomorrow bi'idhnillahi ta'ala we will share some call outs as well bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, now we had some questions from our young learners. One of them was, what happened to the background? We were used to the children's library and this looks like a adult's library. And you're absolutely right, this is an adult's library. This is my library. We had to switch our Young Learners Hub from the children's library, which is more color friendly, I imagine. Color friendly means it has colors that children like to see. Pink, green, blue. Baba's office doesn't have all those colors. Well, we do have some books, like these books here have some colors to them, right? But anyway, we had to switch from the children's library to my library because the temperature where I am in Riyadh is almost 50 degrees, 50 degrees. And when we run these live sessions, especially from home, we try our best, or we should try our best, to make sure that the sound is really, really good, right? And we need air conditioning, as you can imagine, with temperatures almost at 50 degrees. And the air conditioner in the children's library, in Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija's library, is a bit too loud. So we shifted Young Learners Hub to my library where we have a quieter air conditioner so that at least we can run the Young Learners Hub without drowning in our sweat, and also in a way that you guys can hear all of us. So that is the answer to that question. A very, very good observation from our young learners up. So thank you very much for that question. Also, I hope you guys managed to download your worksheets. Did you guys check your worksheets from yesterday? If you didn't, you need to go back to yesterday's episode and check the description box, and you will see yesterday's worksheet. And also today, if you go into the description box below, we have another worksheet for you all dedicated to today's lesson. And don't forget, we're going to have a quiz, inshallah, that will be online, uploaded by Thursday, which is the day of Arafah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we'll keep it open throughout the days of Eid. And for those who do well, inshallah, you will get a signed certificate from me on behalf of the Young Learners Hub, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, yesterday I told you that today we want to talk about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But from where? From after he was thrown into the fire. Because we learned everything about Ibrahim alayhi salam up to the point when he was thrown into the fire in our lockdown Young Learners Hub edition, which was just before Ramadan. And you guys did so well in your quizzes as well. And I remember sending out hundreds of certificates to you all. So I'm pretty sure you guys are very good with the life of Ibrahim up to the point when he was thrown into the fire. Now, what happened? Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire. No one believed in Allah except him. And there was a girl by the name of Sarah, who was Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife. She also believed in Allah because she listened to him. And also one of the relatives of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whose name was Lut alayhi salam. Lut was his name. Lut alayhi salam also believed. So there was just like three people who believed in Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam felt sad that my people, you know, they're not going to worship one Allah. I need to go elsewhere. I need to go elsewhere. So he left Babylon and he went to a region of the world known as Asham. Asham. Asham is the name of a place on the map, on, you know, on earth, a place you go to, and it consists of several countries. So Sham, in English we call it the Levant. In Arabic it's called Sham, right? And it consists of countries that are on the coast, sort of coastal countries. And today, the Sham is made up of predominantly four countries: Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria, right? But in the old, the map of old, it was all known, this entire place was known as Sham. So Ibrahim alayhi salam went to Sham. He thought, I might see people worshipping Allah there. But when he went there, unfortunately, the people were not worshipping Allah. They were worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars. And Ibrahim alayhi salam tried to help them think like how he tried to help his father think and how he tried to help his community think when he was in Babylon. Remember we said Babylon is modern day Iraq. Yes. Yeah. So he tried to make them think, you know, because whilst they were doing all of this, he saw the star. So he said, that must be my Lord, to try and make them think. He wasn't saying the star is his Lord, but he was trying to make them think. But when the star became dull and the moon came out and the moon was bigger than the star, he goes, no. The star can't be my Lord. I think the moon is my Lord. It's bigger. He was trying to make them think. Come on, guys. But then the moon disappeared and the sun came so bright, it made the stars disappear. It made the moon disappear. So he says, Hada Rabbi, Hada Akbar. No, this is my Lord. This is bigger. He was not saying the sun is his Lord. He was just trying to make them think that, come on, guys. Worship the star, but the star is smaller than the moon. Okay, worship the moon, but the moon is smaller than the sun. What are you guys doing? But then the sun disappeared and the moon came back. Then he goes, no, I can't worship any of these things. I can't worship something that comes and goes. I'm going to worship the Lord of the sun and the Lord of the moon and the Lord of the stars. Right, Abdullah? Surah Al-An'am. What does Allah say? He mentions the story in Surah Al-An'am. Correct, Ya Abdullah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he tried to teach them. He tried to make them think. And then he decided, let me go and look you know, let me go and look for other people. Let me go find another place to go where people worship Allah. So then he went to another country. Guess which country that was, Khadija? Which country was that?
Yemen.
Yemen? Good try. It wasn't Yemen. It was Egypt. He went to Egypt. You know a country called Egypt? Have you heard of Egypt?
Yes.
Yes? Who taught you about Egypt? The young learners have want to hear you. They can't hear you. You don't know who told you about Egypt. All right, so there's a country called Egypt, and Ibrahim alayhi salam went to Egypt, right?
Yeah.
He goes to Egypt. He thought he's going to see people being good and worshipping Allah, all right? MashaAllah, I love you all for the sake of Allah as well. There's such beautiful messages, mashaAllah, from Faiza and so many different people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I truly love you all for the sake of Allah, and I wish you to be the best Muslims, the best followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the sunnah. And I hope to see you all in Jannah. I hope you can visit me in Jannah and I can visit you in Jannah, right? And so I can see what Allah gave you in your Jannah. And when you come visit me, you can see what I have in my Jannah. And we all know already what we're going to find in Khadija's Jannah, right? Because in our last Nana's Hub, we were talking about Khadija's Jannah, that when we visit her, we're going to find horses and we're going to find killer whales, orcas. Orcas, right, Khadija? Khadija likes orcas. So thank you so much for your kind messages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. So Ibrahim alayhi salam goes to Egypt, but unfortunately, there's a bad king in Egypt, and he's doing bad things, naughty things, oppressing people, troubling people, right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to leave Egypt. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam was not young now. Yes, he was young when he was thrown into the fire. Now, remember, the story is going in, we're fast forwarding, we're moving. He's went to Sham, he went to Egypt, now he's left Egypt. He's older. And he's thinking to himself, you know what? I really wish I had a son. I really wish I had a son. Because nobody's worshipping Allah. It's just me, and it's Lut, and it's Sarah. I really wish I had a son. And if I have a son, then I can teach him to worship one Allah. And that way, he can teach his children, and they can teach their children, and they can teach their children, and then we can have people on earth worshipping one Allah, right? So he's thinking. But his wife, Sarah, she couldn't have a baby, right? Because to have a baby, babies come from where? From? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah places the baby into the womb of the mother, right? So Sarah alayhi salam, she had some issue. She couldn't have a baby. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't lose hope. He didn't complain. He kept asking Allah. He kept making dua to Allah. He kept wishing in his heart. Who knows everything in our heart? Who knows the whispers in our heart? When we think something and we don't say it, who knows it?
Allah.
Allah. Yeah? Who, Khadija?
Allah.
Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all, right? Allah knew what was in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, when Ibrahim left Egypt, Ibrahim, the king of Egypt, because he was, when he tried to be oppressive to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused his body to become stuck, paralyzed. So he thought that, you know, these people are some sorcerers or magicians. They weren't. They were, Allah loved them, right? Allah saved Ibrahim from the fire. So Allah was going to save him from the bad king and his family from the bad king also. So that king got scared and says, look, you guys go, make this problem that I have go away so I can be normal, and I'll give you a present, and her name will be Hajar, so she can help you guys. So now Hajar was with Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah. And Hajar also believed in Allah. She listened to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam taught her about Allah. So she believed in Allah, and Ibrahim alayhi salam married Hajar. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam was around 90 years old, Allah gave him a son called Ismail. They named him Ismail.
Ismail good.
Very good. Ismail was such an amazing boy. super duper amazing. Allah loved Ismail alayhi salam so much, mashallah. He was such a good boy. He was like his daddy. He believed in one Allah and he put his trust in one Allah. If he did anything, he would say, Alhamdulillah. He wouldn't say, I'm the best, I'm good. He would say, no, Alhamdulillah. He was that kind of a boy. He was such a good boy. Allah loved him. But let's listen to the story. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam is how old, Khadija? 90 years old. Is that old? Or is that young?
Old.
How old is that?
Very
old. But those days, it was okay. Right? We know Nuh alayhi salam lived for how long?
1,000 years.
Over a thousand years. Over a thousand years, right? So, he goes to a place called Palestine. And that's where he settles. Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free it. Ameen. Palestine became the settling place for Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And he was with his little boy, and he was happier because he wasn't with people who were doing shirk and worshipping other than Allah. And his boy was growing up. And it is said, we don't know exactly, but it is said that when Ismail alayhi salam became 2 years old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim. Why does Allah test us? Because this world is about test, boys and girls. Allah will always test us. Right? Those who pass the test will go to Jannah. Right? And those who pass really, really well will go to the highest Jannah, Al-Firdaus. Al-Firdaus is the biggest Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Firdaus is so big that it is the middle of Jannah and the top of Jannah. And above it is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The roof of Al-Firdaus is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Arshul Rahman. How big? Jannah is massive. Jannah is massive. Wow. Subhanallah. Jannah is massive. Big, super big. We can't even imagine how big Jannah is. You know, the sky is big, right?
Yeah.
The sky, the sun fits in the sky, right? Yeah. Jannah is super big. We can't even imagine. It's so big. And every level of Jannah is so massive. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Jannah has levels. Between each level is the distance between the ground and the sky. Just one level of Jannah is the distance between the ground and the sky. And then there's hundreds of levels. And then you have Al-Firdaus. And Al-Firdaus is far bigger than all those levels. It makes up the middle of Jannah all the way to the top. That's how Allah made Jannah. And the best of the best and the best and the best and the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. Inshallah, Allah make us from them. Ameen. We'll go to Jannah. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when you ask Allah for Jannah, don't just ask for any Jannah. Ask Allah for Al-Firdaus. That's what he taught us. He goes, when you ask Allah, Ya Allah, grant me Jannah, don't say, Ya Allah, grant me Jannah. Say, Ya Allah, grant me Al-Firdaus. That's the dua you should make. Are you going to make that dua, Khadija?
Yeah.
Yeah. The young learners are saying, Khadija is too quiet. We can't hear her too well today. Is she fasting? Are you fasting today?
No.
So you have to be a bit louder so the boys and girls can hear
no.
you. Yeah. MashaAllah. All right. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested. Allah told him to take Ismail and Hajar, his mother, from Palestine and to go to another place. Which is this place? Nobody knows. But just take them. And you're going to leave them there. Does Ibrahim say, but I'm going to miss my son. Of course he's going to miss his son. But who's telling him to do it?
Allah
is telling him to do it. I'm going to miss my wife. But who's telling him to do it?
Allah
is telling him to do it. Take them where? The middle of nowhere. Ibrahim listens, he packs some food, he packs some drink, he puts his wife on the animal, he puts Ismail, wraps Ismail, puts him on the animal, and he starts going with the animal. No talking. He's not telling them what's happening. Because it's hard. But he wants to listen to Allah, isn't it? But how amazing was Hajar? How amazing was Hajar? Hajar didn't ask, boys and girls, can you tell me if your baba, your father, came to you on a Sunday, for example, and just woke you all up, carried your mum, put you all in the car, took the suitcases in the car, and he didn't say anything. He just started driving off with the vehicle. Would you guys be quiet? Would you guys say, Baba, where are we going? What would you say? Huh? You'd be quiet? I don't think so, Khadija. Khadija asked the most questions. Where are we going? Where are we going? Isn't it? What do you think your mom, your mother will do? Will your mother be quiet? Or will your mother say, I need to call the police. Something weird's going on here. Maybe the mother will say, why is he not talking? Why has he just put us in the car? Why has he packed our bags? What's going on? This is weird. Call the police quickly, right? Hajar was so quiet. She didn't say anything. And they went far and far and further and further and further and further until Palestine was a long, long way away. Their house was a long, long way away. Their memories was a long, long way away. Where are we going? They're not saying anything. And then finally, they reach a place where there's nothing. No water, no trees, no crops, no people, no plants, no buildings. Nothing but two small mountains. Two small mountains. And Allah told Ibrahim, leave your family there. That's where you're going to leave your family. Leave your family there. Ibrahim alayhi salam listens. He doesn't say, but ya Allah, how are they going to eat? Who's going to look after them? There's nobody here. Ibrahim alayhi salam listens. This is amazing, boys and girls, right? That he believed that Allah looks after us. If Allah is telling me to do this, then I'm just going to listen. My brain can't understand how it's going to work. But Allah is the most powerful. He can make anything happen. So I'm just going to listen. Isn't it? He left his family. Now when he left his family, Hajar spoke. Not because she's complaining, but because she knows there's no food, there's no water. I have a little boy. Every mother loves their little boy and girl, isn't it? Yeah. So this little baby, she asks Ibrahim, are you leaving us here? Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't say anything because he can't. If he looks back and sees her face, sees Ismail's face, he might feel it might be tough for him. But he wants to make sure he win passes the test. He wants to make sure he listens to Allah. He wants to put Allah first. Because when you put Allah first, you never ever finish last. So he doesn't want to look. He doesn't want to see anyone's faces. He's going. She asks him again. He doesn't answer. She asks him again. He doesn't answer. Then she goes, did Allah tell you to leave us here? And he gestures, yes. So Hajar knew, khalas. Hajar knew, khalas, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Ibrahim doesn't look after me. Ibrahim doesn't look after Ismail. It's Allah who looks after us. Look at her trust in Allah. This is called tawakkul.
What's tawakkul?
Tawakkul, good question. Khadija's asking, what is tawakkul? Tawakkul is when you do everything that you can do, but you put your trust in Allah. When you leave your house, you lock your house. Why do you lock your house? Because you don't want anyone to come and steal from your house. So you lock your house. But you know that you locking your house isn't enough. Locking the house doesn't mean no one can get in. Anyone can get in, right? If they can break the lock, isn't it? But you turn the lock and you put your trust in Allah. You say, I ask Allah to make this lock work. I ask Allah to make the thieves stay away from my house. That's tawakkul, right? You go to work, you go to look for a job. You need some money, so you look for a job. To go and look for a job, right? You might not get the job, but you put your trust in Allah. When you study for your exams, right, boys and girls? You study for your exams, you have to study. And then you do your best and you put your trust in? You put your trust in Allah, right? That maybe Allah will make the heart of the person marking the test be soft. So they won't take away marks, they'll give us marks. But that's all with. But can you say, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to go for the exam. And if Allah wants me to pass, I'll pass. If Allah doesn't want me to pass, I won't pass. Is that what? Does that make sense, Abdullah?
No.
Ahmed?
No.
Someone says, I'm really wishing for tasty biryani. I'm just going to take an empty pot and put it on the stove. And I'm going to look at the pot. If I look hard enough, tasty biryani is going to come. What do you think, guys?
No.
Huh?
Not going
Is it going to happen, Khadija? No, you have to put the water, you have to put the rice, you have to put the chicken, you have to put the tomatoes, you have to put the onions. Abdullah's laughing. Why are you laughing, Abdullah? Abdullah's laughing because he knows I don't cook biryani. But he knows that I know the ingredients. Right? Yeah, I mean, some people cook biryani, some people taste the biryani. Isn't it? Right? So you have to do everything. But even if you do everything, sometimes it doesn't come out. You have to put your trust in Allah that the tomatoes are nice, they taste nice, they're sweet enough, right? That the chicken is nice. That's all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all with Allah. So tawakkul is doing your best and then putting your trust in Allah. So this is what Ibrahim was doing. This was the best he could do. He was listening to Allah. He had little food in his house. He took that food. He had little water. He took that water. That's all he had, right? He could make a little umbrella kind of shelter for Hajar and his son because it's very hot. So he did that. That's all he could do. Now what's left? To put your trust in Allah. Because Allah told him, you have to leave them there. So they stayed there. And there was no one there. And Ibrahim went back to Palestine. And now the food is getting finished. And the water is getting finished. And Hajar, who's a mother, is thinking of a baby before she's thinking of herself. But does she complain? Yeah. No. Her trust is where? Allah. She has tawakkul with?
Allah.
Louder, boys, they can't hear you.
Allah.
Allah, Khadija, say it louder for the boys and the
Allah.
Girls. Allah, yes. She puts her trust in Allah. Now she doesn't say, what's the point? I can't see anybody here. I'm just going to sit here. She doesn't say that. Remember we said you can't put the pot, empty pot on the stove. You have to act. You have to do something. So she gets up and she runs to the first mountain. That mountain today is called Safa. Safa. Safa is the name of a mountain in Mecca and Marwa. You see? Back then it was the middle of nowhere. Today we know it as Mecca. And millions of people go there. And Hajj happens. And Umrah happens. And nobody goes thirsty. And nobody goes hungry. Subhanallah. Millions of people in the middle of... Now it's Mecca. It's not the middle of nowhere. But imagine how it was back then. Why is Mecca so special and so famous? Because Allah loved what Ibrahim did. Allah loved what Hajar did. Allah loved what Ismail did. No one was complaining. They put their trust in Allah. So Hajar runs up to Safa. And she looks right, she looks left, she can't see anybody. She runs, she starts walking towards, she goes, let me go to the other mountain. Now, obviously, if you and I were there, we'd say, our mother, Hajar, come on. There's nobody here. Did you see anybody? Why are you wasting your time? Maybe we would have said that, right? Because our iman is not as strong as Hajar's iman. She went to Marwa. When she went to Marwa, she's going. There's a little valley. In between the two mountains. A valley is a little dip in the ground between the two mountains. When she gets into the dip, she can't see Ismail, her son. She left Ismail where she was sat. And that was where the Kaaba is today. You know where the Kaaba is? Near there where the well of Zamzam is? That's where Ismail was. Not too far from the Kaaba, right? But she couldn't see him. And you know when we go, for those who've been to Mecca, when you do Safa Marwa, you can see the Kaaba, right? But now there's pillars and the haram is built. So sometimes it's difficult to see. But you can imagine, okay, it's not very far. So she gets into this valley. But look at the mother's instinct. Even though she knows there's nobody here, there's no wild animals, there's nothing here. Nothing's going to go harm my son. My son will be there, don't worry. No, she starts running through the valley. That's why, you know, when you do Safa Marwa, for those who've been to Mecca, you see two green lights. And we run between those green lights. Why do we run? We run because Hajar ran with tawakkul, putting a trust in Allah. Allah loved what she did. So Allah made everyone till the day of Qiyamah do it. Allah loved her walking between the mountains. So Allah made everyone do it. Allah loved her running in the valley. So Allah made everyone do it. So she goes to Marwa. She sees nothing. Does she give up? No. She comes back to Safa. That's what we do today. We go to Marwa, we come back to Safa. From Safa, we go back to Marwa. From Marwa, we go back to... She kept on doing it, not giving up. Knowing that Allah just wants me to act. He wants me to try. To show that I believe in Him. When you try, it shows you believe in Allah. That's what it means. And Allah is going to take care of us. And when the seventh round, so she goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. On the seventh round, she gets to Marwa. And remember, Allah also makes us stop our umrah on the seventh round. Seven, why seven? Because Allah chose 7 times for Hajar. When she gets onto Marwa, she hears a sound. What's that sound? Strange sound. She turns around. She sees this angel standing by Ismail alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Allah makes her see something that nobody can see. How would it be amazing to see an angel? I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam. How massive was Jibreel? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he had how many wings? 600 wings. If he opened one wing, everything from the east towards the east will be traffic jams, broken, smash, just block everything. Allahu Akbar. His feet were on the ground and his head was in the heavens. Jibreel alayhi salam, in his original form, subhanallah. Allah has mighty angels. She sees this angel. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do story time with the Sahaba. Like I'm doing story time with you guys. He used to do story time with the Sahaba. And he told them what the angel was doing. But the person who was listening forgot a little bit of the detail. So he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Hajar saw the angel tapping the ground either with his wing or with his heel. One of the two. And all of a sudden, water started coming out of the ground. Hajar, when she saw the water, she forgot about everything. She went running for the water because she needed water and she doesn't know how much water is going to come out. And the water started going. So she wanted to capture as much water as she can before the water stopped. So she quickly runs and she gathers the sand around the water. The water is coming out and she's gathering the sand so that the water doesn't flow away. If it flows, you know, like water, when you pour water, it flows. When Khadija spills water on the table, what happens? The water goes, isn't it? It goes all over. So the water, the Zamzam water, you know Zamzam water, Khadija, right? The Zamzam water was going all over. And Hajar really wanted to collect it because she didn't know how much water there would be. So she made a little circular wall around the water source and the water stayed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Sahaba, may Allah have mercy on our mother Hajar. If she didn't do that, the Zamzam wouldn't be a well, but it would be a flowing river. A flowing river. Imagine that river. Because the Somba Zamzam just keeps coming. How big will that river be? So it stayed out as a well, subhanallah.
It would be an ocean.
So now we have the well of Zamzam, and you know the story of the well of Zamzam. It's a story of tawakkul. Every time you drink Zamzam water, boys and girls, think about Hajar and how she went between the two mountains. Okay? And how she had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that tawakkul needs two things. Pay attention, okay, boys and girls? Tawakkul needs two things. Number one, that you try. But number two, that you put your trust in Allah. You don't try and say, because I tried, I'm going to win. No, that's not tawakkul. That's not tawakkul. Tawakkul is you try, but you know that no matter how hard you try, it won't work unless Allah blesses you. That is tawakkul. You can study so hard for your exams. But tawakkul is you knowing that, yes, I studied hard, but I will only pass if Allah helps me remember what I've studied. If Allah helps me understand the question, that is tawakkul. Okay? You can try and build an amazing Lego castle. Yeah? You can try. But tawakkul is you knowing that I need to try put the blocks together, the Lego together. But it won't be amazing unless Allah blesses me and makes it amazing. That is tawakkul. See, Hajar, she had tawakkul. She tried, but she didn't think that just by her running, she's going to get food and water. She knew that only if Allah blesses me will I get food and water. So remember, tawakkul means two things. Number one, that you try. Number one, that you try. You must try. You shouldn't say, I'm just going to have tawakkul and put my trust in Allah. And if I'm meant to fly, I will fly. No. No, you have to build the airplane first. You got to build the aeroplane. You got to do your best. You see, there's something called tawakul. Good question, Khadija. Tawakul is when you take the empty pot and you put it on the stove and you just stare at it. And you think the biryani is going to come. Khadija's laughing. Right? Khadija's laughing. That was funny, Khadija. Right? Tawakul is when you just think things are going to happen and they happen. That's tawakul. Tawakul is not allowed. We need tawakul. Tawakkul is to try your best and put your trust in Allah. And that is the story of Hajar alayhi salam. And so far our discussion about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family and the days of Hajj. Now, don't forget to like this video and share it and tell your cousins about it. Tomorrow's our last Young Learners Hub for this Dhul Hijjah edition. And I'm going to tell you all about the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam and about him sacrificing his son Ismail and everything that happened until the sacrifice, which is what inshallah many of us will be doing on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And also I'll be telling you about the days of Hajj, because tomorrow Wednesday the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, they will be starting their Hajj, for tomorrow is Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So join me tomorrow, tell your cousins to join. Tell your parents to join as well, all right? Because inshallah, there will be some benefit for everyone. I love you all for the sake of Allah. May Allah gather us in Jannah together. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds this Dhul Hijjah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in this world before He gathers us in Jannah. I hope to see you one day in your cities, inshallah. Until tomorrow, I say to you all from myself and Abdullah and Ahmed and Khadija, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I had to make a laugh.